Manakam, I'm Veena and you're listening to Sambal Podcast, a lay parking space for youth leaders by the Sambal Podcast. Thank you so much for tuning into another year of hashtag Sambal Podcast. Just thank you for whoever who decided to listen to some intelligent rants, I hope, of all our youth leaders on this platform. Yeah. And I'm also your host called Shekhtra, because someone told me recently that I should start introducing myself to the guests. I don't think I'll be doing much introducing, but at least now you know who I am, at least you got my name. So today we are back with the last rant, with another interesting issue. Because for me, who never really bothered about politics until the Sambal Pod, until TSP, I guess, and also never really bothered about race-based politics, which is actually a big thing in the Malaysian politics, in the Malaysian local politics. Because I feel like race-based politics is always an excuse for a politician to not be accountable. Because every time some politicians want attention, what he or she would do is just to bring up a sensitive issue of a certain race and voila. So then people get dramatic and then, basically just triggering people. And yeah, I feel like it becomes a very good distraction instead of focusing on the actual work that the person should be doing. So yeah, that's just what I feel. And it's also very disgusting that happens, because that does not only happen on a certain race, it happens on the minority sometimes or even the majority. So yeah, we are so-called independent for almost 60 plus years now, but we still deal with certain cases like this. But maybe, race-based politics could be advantageous in a certain way, where it could help certain marginalized communities that actually need that certain attention to solve, certain social issues in their community. Maybe it could be that special help that could cater to every specific community. Well, is that true or not? I'm not sure. But we have Veena here today. So hi, Veena. Thank you so much for being here.
Hi, Shekhtra.
Hi, how are
Thank
you?
Thank you for inviting me over for your podcast.
No worries. Thank you so much for agreeing, especially since we both know that it's super last minute. So yeah, thank you so much for being here. And Veena is actually from a platform called Dewan Belia India Malaysia, DBIM, which is a political awareness platform for Indians. So we'll start over the conversation by talking about youth politics generally and how politics affect the Indian community. So is there a special reason why we are focusing on the Indian community today? Honestly, no special reason, but this community is one of the minorities and people have always stated that the Indian community always receives the short end of the stick when it comes to politics. What are the misconceptions of politics, for anyone who don't believe in politics like me?
Okay, people think and have a misconception. So politics is something separate from a day-to-day life and it is somebody's business. Actually, politics affects everyone's life on a day-to-day basis. In the day-to-day life of every person, politics is involved. If the Prime Minister attacks a country for a political reason to satisfy the local majority population, that will affect the foreign investment, attack on our currency, and the Malaysian economy will be affected, leading to job losses, price increase, which will affect every citizen of this country.
What opportunities do you see in young people to make a difference in our local political scene?
As for difference, first would be active participation. Youths need to engage actively in the democratic process by registering to vote, participating in elections, and encouraging peers to do the same. Voting is a fundamental way to influence political outcomes. Secondly, I would suggest youth advocacy. Advocate for issues that matter to the youth population. This could include education reform, environmental sustainability, social justice, and economic opportunities. Vocal and organized advocacy can bring attention to these issues. And lastly, social media engagement. Youths need to leverage social media platforms to raise awareness about political issues, share information, and connect with like-minded individuals.
Do you have a long-term vision for a Malaysia's future?
Long-term vision for Malaysia can be a living together of all races with no hatred amongst them. This living together will itself bring more prosperity in Malaysia. We believe as more and more youngsters enter into politics, the hatred, distrust, inferiority complex among certain races to face the competition will go off.
What are the main issues affecting Indians in Malaysia? Because a lot of people have a lot of things to say about Indians in Malaysia. Some people say Indians are living a good life. Some people would say Indians are living a very terrible life. Or maybe some people will say like, oh, from the perspective of a pendatang, Indians is actually still quite okay lah. So a lot of people will say a lot of things, you know. So yeah, what are the main issues in your perspective?
Okay, so as for the main issues affecting Indians in Malaysia, firstly, it would be police custodial deaths, I would say. So Indians have disproportionately suffered from police custodial deaths. So according to Malaysia Kini, the official figure showed that 23.4% of the victims of police custodial deaths between 2002 and 2016 were Indians, who only comprised 7% of total national population. This figure, however, is projected to be as high as 54.8%, according to Swaram. Crucially, the proportion of police custodial deaths does not reflect the racial composition of Malaysia. Rather, Indians are more likely to become victims. While one might easily dismiss this issue by pointing out that Malays make up the largest number of police custodial deaths, we must not overlook the over-representation of Indians in this tragic societal problem. Secondly, I would say gangsterism and poverty. So, according to the official data in 2018, there were a total of 4,143 active Indian gangsters in Malaysia, exceeding the amount of active gang members among the Malays and Chinese, which are both more populous in Malaysia. However, no one is destined to be born as gangster, regardless of race and ethnicity. Gangsterism rampaging in a community is hardly racial in nature. Instead, it reflects other underlying social factors. More fundamentally, the more widespread affiliation with gangsterism stems from the rampant poverty and lack of social mobility. So, according to an article that looks into the origin of Indian gangsterism in Malaysia, poverty drives many Indians to seek pride, income, and solidarity in gangs when they fail to attain upward social mobility through other channels. And lastly, I would say the livelihood problem, housing and job application. So, according to a survey published by UGOV Omnibus in 2019, 46% of Indians interviewed had faced discrimination when renting property, considerably exceeding the proportions of Malays and Chinese facing similar problems. 62% of Malaysians have seen rental advertisement with racial requirements, with 32% of them believing such racial requirements to be rightfully requested. Normalized racial discrimination in the housing market has undeniably punished Indians for their racial identity, an issue which is scarcely dealt with or even confronted. So, on a wider scale, persistent racial discrimination against Indians in the housing and job markets has seen adversely affecting their livelihood.
Okay, wow. Veena, from your explanation just now, it just shows that Indians have a lot of problems like Malaysia, basically. Okay, let's talk about the first one. The first one you mentioned was police custodial deaths, right? So, you mentioned all these statistics and all And you also said that yeah, a lot of people, because even if you see whenever this kind of news comes out, you know, on social media comments, people would say that you know, it's probably because of the racial composition, you know, because basically Indians are the minority, right? So if you're comparing based on the three main races, because we have more than three main races, guys, we have a lot of races in Malaysia, which is the beauty of Malaysia. But yeah, if we are comparing among the three main races, Malay, Chinese, and Indians, Indians are the least in terms of population. So even despite that, we must not overlook the overrepresentation of Indians in you know, in this kind of issue, and in police custodial deaths. And I guess gangsterism is very closely related to that, because we also have a lot of stigmas, right? Whenever people say like, "Aiyah, gangster," it's always an Indian.
Yeah.
People always have that kind of mentality, which is kind of sad, lah. And also, I feel like because of what certain Indians go through, some of the other Indians who are trying to do something in their own way, also gets the same name, the same bad name. You know, the same bad name is reflected to them. So yeah, there is a lot of issues actually to solve, and maybe I guess one of the main core of this reason is poverty. Okay, so how does the current political climate affect Indians as minorities? Because like what you said just now, Vina, Indians have a lot of issues going on in Malaysia. So does the political climate help us? Or is it true like what people say, we get the short end of the stick?
The current political climate, you know, how does it affect Indians? I would say first, representation in government. So political representation is crucial for any community. The political climate can influence the level of representation of Malaysian Indians in government bodies, impacting their ability to advocate for community interests. Secondly, education policies. Policies related to education can impact access to quality education for Malaysian Indians. Initiatives to address educational disparities and provide equal opportunities contribute to the community's overall well-being. And lastly, discrimination and equality. So the political climate can influence efforts to combat discrimination and promote equality. Policies that address issues of discrimination contribute to a fair and just society for all ethnic groups.
Okay, so this is basically your suggestion as of what the government should do to help Indians. So yeah, we need more political representation in government, which is why you guys are having DBIM as a platform. And yes, we need education policies, because like what you mentioned just now, you know, not every Indian has the opportunity to an education, especially those Indians who are from lower socioeconomic status. I don't know if this question sounds very harsh, but are Indians facing the worst issues out of every minority? Or is it a similar situation with every minority race in Malaysia?
Not Indians only are facing the worst issues out of every minority. There's like other races, they are facing issues as well. You know, even Chinese, they are facing these house rental issues. And, you know, the Sabahans and Sarawakians are like, they have this infrastructure issue where, you know, there's no like proper road for them to travel to schools, workplace. So I think it's not only Indians, but other minorities are also facing other kind of issues.
Okay, understood. So Indians face different issues, but other minorities are also facing their own issues as well. And I think even if you look at it from the majority perspective, I'm sure they have their own issues as well. So I think the important thing is to address these issues, to understand that these issues exist, which I think we know for now. Like, we know that, you know, Sarawakians, Sabahan Sarawakians have infrastructure issues, you know, don't even have proper roads. So we know these issues exist for years. So yeah, I guess every Malaysian, we are united in this one way, lah, you know, despite whatever we believe in. I think we are united in the sense where we want to see action. We want to see work being done. So yeah, hopefully we would see that change. let's have a quick break with hashtag sambal pedas. So to all our listeners, the usual ones, you would know, this is a quick rapid fire session around 3 to 5 minutes about any fun or random questions. And this is just to give our listeners a little break and also to show a bit of a probably a more human or fun side of Vina, I guess. So yeah, these questions are also not provided beforehand. So this is a spontaneous kind of question. But don't worry, it's not like, it's not a factual question. It's just like, you know, a human kind of question. Just to get to know you better. So, however, even though this is a human kind of question, I wanted to ask something which is more related to politics. So, yeah, if I may know, Vina, who is your political mentor and why?
Okay. So, my mentor. Alright, no one knows about my mentor, but okay, I would say it here.
Okay, please, it's exclusive on TSP.
Yes. YB Kasturi Patu is my mentor, actually.
Oh, you have mentored before, right?
Yes, he has mentored me before during my Parliament Wanita Muda program.
Okay. So she's your political mentor. Yes. Can you share why?
Alright, because, you know, she was the, how to say, only Indian MP. She was in the cabinet for, you know, such a long period. You know, even her father was such a, you know, strong legend. But to...
True.
Yeah, she's just following his footsteps, I would say. Such a strong lady. Of course, with good knowledge, she shares with everyone. So definitely there's a lot to learn from her. I mean, to gain experience so that in, one day I'll definitely be like her.
The dream of life, you know, I hope to see you being, you know, at the similar position like YB Kasturi Patu one day. And yeah, just to share a bit, because I had that opportunity to be a part of DBIM for a while, I had this opportunity to moderate a session where YB Kasturi Patu had like a sharing session with the youths. And yes, I've actually not met her before. I never really took much interest on politicians, I think, before that. And yeah, just getting to meet her in person, seeing how down to earth she was and how nice she was. Yeah, I understand why anyone would fangirl over her. Yeah, let's go on to your platform, lah. Okay. I don't know, your little baby, I guess, you know, DBIM. So, what is your platform about?
Okay, so DBIM, Day One Malay India Malaysia. We are a 2-year-old platform, a youth-led nation-building organization where we focus towards instilling political awareness and social development among Indian community in Malaysia. I would say the Indian youths nowadays, they aren't interested in, you know, towards this nation-building program or, you know, reading these latest issues and all. So DBIM definitely would be a platform where we will engage them in, you know, all kind of workshops where they can, you know, learn more about our country, democracy system, you know, visit to the parliament. Recently we did the, you know, parliament tour, which was really, you know, educational for them, where they can learn, you know, everything.
Okay, so yeah, you brought the youths to parliament. What was their reactions? Was it the first time to parliament for a lot of them?
Majority of them were first-timers, you know, visiting the parliament. Only like very few they had visited the parliament before, but majority, almost like 40 out of 50 of them were like first-timers coming to the parliament. So they were all
so
very
what was
excited.
Their reaction?
They were super excited and, you know, happy that they got this opportunity from us.
Okay, cool. Maybe you should bring them to the State Assembly too, because I feel like a lot of people have visits to Parliament, but not many people have visits to the State Assembly. Even I myself just visited the State Assembly recently, the Selangor State Assembly. So,
yeah, that's
maybe
a great
you guys,
idea.
Yeah, maybe you guys should organize something lah, you know, see, you know,
Sure, can.
bring the youths for another tour. Need more youngsters. We need more fresh blood.
Yes,
So
definitely.
yeah, definitely. So yeah, I applaud the work that you are doing, but I just want to know a bit about the work that you're doing for these people, right? Okay, so basically, just to clarify, in case if there are any Indian youths who are interested to join DBIM after this, can you join DBIM anytime, or is there a particular time limit to register?
Actually, yeah. Within this 2 to 3 days time, we will be announcing our, you know, we'll be opening back our recruitment for volunteer.
Okay.
So definitely they can join us and work along with us for the next one year.
Okay, understood. And then in
Yeah.
terms of like giving the political awareness, right, how are you all planning to do that actually? Are you all planning to have any specific cause or anything like that?
Okay, in terms of political awareness, we will be organizing Parliament Tour 2.0, which
Okay.
is coming soon next year, within January to March, one of the month. Other than that, we are also like you know we'll be like conducting forums, workshops and all with senators and Indian MPs.
Okay, so workshops with Indian MPs lah.
Yes.
Okay, understood. So all this will be happening next year.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So, will you be announcing the volunteer recruitment on your social media?
Yeah, we'll be
Yeah, we'll
posting
be
it
posting it
either
either
tomorrow,
tomorrow,
but today or tomorrow,
today or
yeah.
tomorrow. Okay, Vina. So please plug in DBIM social media just for everyone to know.
Yeah, please
Yeah,
follow
please follow
us at DBIMSIA. Yeah.
Okay, DBIM SIA. You guys are available on Instagram and
Twitter, TikTok as well.
okay, Twitter, which is X now lah. So
Yeah.
Instagram, X, and TikTok. To all our anak muda listening in, you feel free to hit our DMs anytime. Okay, so even if we may revert back to you late, we'll try to revert back as fast as possible. And yes, feel free to suggest any sort of topic that you want to listen to at hashtag Sambal Podcast. So yeah, that is all from me. Thank you so much, Vina.